is Alicia.
And Katie.
And this is episode 35 of Crime Squared.
We've officially made it past a year.
Oh my gosh, yes. Have you re-listened to like our first episode versus like one of our most recent ones?
No.
I have.
Yeah.
I liked our episodes a lot more in the beginning. I think they were so long. We were like so...
They're like 2.5 hours. Yeah. They were so long.
But there was so much detail. Like, I really enjoyed that. And I think now, I mean, having two kids and only recording every other week, like, it's freaking exhausting.
But by the end of this year, neither of us will have breastfeeding kids.
Yeah.
So, we technically could go back to that.
And we're in the same time zone, so that helps a lot.
We're in the same town.
Yeah. Yeah. That's kind of
so, nice. It makes it a little easier. We chit-chatted for like an hour and a half before this.
Yeah, so hopefully this episode goes a little better for everyone else. I feel like those last couple, we were just so excited about being together in person.
Yes.
Got carried away.
Being adults, being friends, we don't get to see each other as much anymore. Oh my god, exhausting.
But we've seen each other more since you've been back, compared to our whole relationship so far. Friendship.
Yeah.
Relationship.
I mean,
pretty much.
Basically.
So it is what it is.
We're basically nice. Married, but in the business world.
Cheers to that.
So, I'm going to do one. You said you've never heard of this one a long time ago. JonBenet Ramsey.
Yeah, no. I
don't know how you ever heard of
that
this
was the
one.
Milk carton one. So.
No, this is not the milk carton one.
Which one is that one then?
This is the beauty pageant.
Oh, actually, did that just like recently blow up again?
Yes.
Okay.
It did.
Yeah. So I saw it on Facebook maybe not so long ago. And I was like, I feel like Katie was judging me for not knowing this story. And I kind of remember it because my mom had talked about it in the past. But like, I grew up a little more sheltered than most people do. So yeah, we didn't really.
I didn't know about this when it happened. But it's a very, very popular one.
I know, like, very vague things about it.
Okay. So, this happened in Boulder, Colorado. So, not that far from us.
Yeah. Yeah. How far is that from where we're going in October?
Like an hour and a half, 2 hours.
Maybe we should make a little bit of a journey. Yeah. Okay.
Okay
with that.
Okay, so JonBenet Ramsey was born on August 6th, 1990. So, like, around our age.
Eek. Okay. Yeah.
She was an American child beauty queen who was killed at the age of 6 in her family's home in Boulder, Colorado.
She was known for her curly hair.
Yes, big poofy curly hair.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So JonBenet was the younger of two children, Patricia or Patsy Ramsey and JonBenet Ramsey. So the parents got her name from combining the father's first and middle name. So John and Bennett. So JonBenet.
Okay.
A little weird, but...
Yeah.
And her mother's first name was used as her middle name. So, JonBenet Patricia Ramsey.
Jesus.
Right? That's a mouthful.
Like about as bad as a Mexican with two first names, two middle names, and two, three last names.
Yep.
Like, my kid... Well, okay, my oldest, Ariana, has technically four names, and Jordan only has three. And I have two. Well, three, I guess, not with Shaka, but.
Yeah.
Jordan would have been S-O-L if he would have been a girl, because his name would have been long. Yay.
So, John Ramsey was a businessman who worked for Access Graphics, a computer software company, as the president that later became known as Lockheed Meade.
Oh, okay.
Lockheed Martin.
Okay.
And John was married once before, and it ended in divorce in 1978.
Why did it end in divorce?
That I don't know.
Oh, okay. I was already like, she crazy? Is he crazy?
I thought I saw something about he had an affair, but I could be wrong.
Well, okay.
Well, about that. So he had two surviving adult children, a son and a daughter.
From his first marriage?
Yeah. Who live somewhere else, so they don't live with him. They are out on their own and far gone. John had moved in with Patsy, his second wife, in 1991, and her family in Boulder, Colorado, where Access Graphics headquarters was. So they moved in after they had JonBenet.
Okay.
Patsy Ramsey entered JonBenet in multiple beauty pageants in Boulder, Colorado, and she won titles like America's Royal Miss, Miss Colorado, Colorado State All-Star Kids Cover Girl.
Damn.
And National Tiny Miss Beauty. So.
How do you even get involved with those types of pageants?
Money.
Oh my god.
Money, money, money.
And she, so like, was her dad okay with all these? Or was it just mainly the mom that wanted it?
The mom wanted to do all of it, but the dad's working very all the time, supportive. So.
Okay.
He's like, okay, do whatever. So, after the murder, the media reported that Patsy was a pageant mother and had a very active role in her child's beauty pageants. So she was a, what do they call those?
Was she a stay-at-home mom?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So I know they have like dance moms, but like beauty pageant moms.
Like pageant moms, yeah.
Yeah, pageant mom, mm-hmm. Yeah. So on the morning of the murder, no one knew where JonBenet was, and that began the search that led to the ransom note. So at the time of the murder, the only people known to be in the house were Patsy and John and their son, Burke, the older son, Burke.
So mom, dad, and the older son.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So there's a ransom note found in the kitchen stairwell, which specifically stated not to call the police. However, Patsy did call the police at 5:52 a.m.
Everyone always calls the police when you see that, which I feel like you should.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even really know how to
like, generally, like, if they say don't call the police, like, they're probably already dead.
Yeah.
So.
And I feel like the statistics for that are, like, very accurately high.
Yes. So she also called a family, called all of her family and friends before she called the police officers, before they were able to, excuse me, we're drinking White Claws and the burps are real.
Shout out if White Claw wants to sponsor us, we will gladly take that.
We're drinking the surf version right now, so.
And are very delicious and extra hydrating.
Yes. And bubbly. So, police officers responded to the 911 call, and they arrived within 3 minutes for their initial search, which showed no signs of any forced entry.
Okay, so, first of all, how long had she been missing before the mom started calling friends or noticed she was missing?
Not very long.
Okay.
So, they were all sleeping before this.
Okay. I was like, if she had been missing all day, why would you call family and friends? I would have definitely called
the cops
first.
This was like a middle of the night kind of thing.
Okay. Damn, and the cops got there within 3 minutes?
Yeah, it was like 6 o'clock in the morning by the time that she called them. It was 5:52 when she called, so they came by 5:55. So within 3 minutes.
Okay, so either they are heavily patrolling the area or it just happened to be...
in the right area.
Yeah, because holy shit, even versus now being out in the country or when we were living in town, I guarantee you it would have taken like at least 10 minutes for a cop to get to our house. And our town ain't that big.
When we had to call the ambulance for Lakin when he was having that severe allergic egg reaction,
mm-hmm.
It still took him like 10, 12 minutes.
3 minutes is like ridiculously fast.
And I know exactly where
the station is.
The station was. It was like, I could have walked there in 10 minutes. Like, that's, it was not very far away.
Yeah, that's a little, I mean, I guess in their situation, like, they have to actually like bring equipment and be fully dressed and whatever, but like,
right.
You're literally on call for like, days at a time for that type of thing. 3 minutes is ridiculously fast.
So I feel like they were just like on their way to another something and they were like, okay, reroute you and somebody else can go there.
Damn. Okay. Yeah. All right.
So Officer Rick French went to the basement and came to a door that was secured by a lock. He paused for a moment in front of the door but walked away without opening it. And French later explained that he was looking for an exit route used by a kidnapper. Which it closes inside peg rolled out.
Mm-hmm.
So they wouldn't have been able to get in that way.
Yeah.
And then JonBenet's body would later be found behind that door.
Oh, shit.
So.
What? Okay.
Just keep that in your mind.
Okay. And she was how old when this happened?
Six.
Damn. Okay.
So at this time, JonBenet still had not been found, so John was making arrangements to pay the ransom. A forensic team had arrived at the house. The team initially thought the child had been kidnapped, and JonBenet's bedroom is the only room in the house that was cautioned off to prevent contamination. Doesn't seem right to me.
No.
Because how would they have gotten into the room? You should have cautioned off the whole tape, the whole house, and gotten everyone out.
Yeah. I mean, entryway, most bedrooms, like, you have a hallway to get into the bedrooms.
And you have no clear path if someone would have gotten in there.
Yeah.
How would they have gotten in? You don't want anybody touching anything.
Railings, all doorknobs.
Windows, garage.
Countertops.
Crawl space.
Literally, like, Night Soccer touched every fridge and drank coffee at every house. So, like,
right.
Literally everything.
Yep.
Oh. Mm-hmm. When we do stories like this, and, like, we're sitting there like, but you did this wrong, you did that wrong. I'm
right.
Like,
you're analyzing.
We're not criminals, but we know how to do it if we wanted to.
So, throughout the rest of the house, there are no other precautions taken. So, the Ramseys called the family and friends throughout this entire process to let them know what was happening, and many of them came to help or attempted to help during this process, which means they were touching shit too.
Well, go freaking figure.
Yeah.
They're so opposite of delicate.
Yes.
With cases back in the day.
So Detective Linda Ardent arrived at about 8 a.m. and anticipating receiving further instruction by the kidnappers, but there was never any attempt by anyone to claim any money. Like, nobody was calling, nobody was doing anything. So
it almost sounds like it was, like a troubled kid in the area that happened to be in the house playing with these kids and happened to... Am I onto something right now, the way you're looking at
it? No, I'm just interested in your theory.
Oh, okay. Like, it sounds like there were kids over at their house playing with their kids and, like, shit went wrong. Like, maybe they were playing a game and some shit, like, legit went wrong, and so they were like, okay, well, I saw this in a movie, so we'll write it down and, like, see where it goes from there. And then, like, that's why no one called, because it was, like, a kid that did that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they were afraid they would get in trouble or something.
Yeah.
Maybe?
It just sounds really... I don't know.
Sketchy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so keep that theory in mind, because I want to discuss theories later. So this is actually what the ransom note said. Mr. Ramsey, listen carefully. We are a group of individuals that represent a small foreign faction. We respect your business, but not the country that it serves.
What the hell?
At this time, we have your daughter in our possession. She is safe and unharmed, and if you want to see her, if you want her to see 1987, you must follow our instructions to the letter.
Nope, she's already done.
You will withdraw $118,000 from your account. Keep in mind, this is 1990.
What, are you paying off a bunch of car debt, credit card bills? Like, 118 is a very...
specific.
Yeah. Okay, all right.
$100,000 will be in $100 bills.
Why do people do that? Like, yo, if I want a ransom, just pay me. You can pay me in pennies. I'll happily sit my ass down and count that fucking change.
And the remaining $18,000 will be in $20 bills. Make sure that you bring an adequate size attaché to the bank. When you get home, you will put the money in a brown paper bag.
What's an attaché?
Like a bag. Like a overnight bag, like a weekender bag kind
of
thing.
Oh, like a duffel bag type?
Yeah.
Okay, okay, okay.
But like nicer, like a leather one.
Ooh, yeah. Fancy. Oh, so we want money for your daughter and a fancy bag.
Yeah.
That's gonna
but
be
then
like
put it in a brown paper bag later.
Yeah. I was gonna say, so that bag alone probably costs like $120-$200. So like, does that come out of the ransom money? Or like
So they said, I will call you between 8 and 10 AM to instruct you on delivery. The delivery will be exhausting, so I advise you to be rested.
Yeah, get a full 8 hour worth of sleep.
Right.
Drink plenty of water. Work out before you come to do this.
If we monitor you getting the money early, we might call you early to arrange an early delivery of the money and hence an earlier pickup of your daughter. Any deviation of my instructions will result in the immediate execution of your daughter.
Yo, that is a long-ass ransom note.
And I'm not done.
Oh, Jesus. Okay, so it wasn't kids, obviously, because kids would have just been like, can I have $5 and we'll call it even?
Right. So it said, you will also be denied her remains for proper burial. The two gentlemen watching over your daughter do not particularly like you, so I advise you do not provoke them. Speaking to anyone about your situation, such as police or FBI, will result in your daughter being beheaded.
Holy shit.
It escalated quickly.
Yeah.
If we catch you talking to a stray dog, she dies. If you alert...
Well, that's fucked up. Come on. Stray dogs? How do you not just pet any dog that comes by you?
If you alert any authorities, she dies. If the money is in any way marked or tampered with, she dies. You'll be scanned for electronic devices, and if any are found, she dies. You will try... you can try to deceive us, but be warned that we are familiar with law enforcement countermeasures and tactics. You stand a 99% chance of killing your daughter if you try to outsmart us.
The way that that last phrase meant was, and how fast the cops got there, it makes me feel like the cops are somehow involved. Like there was a dirty cop.
Follow our instructions and you stand a 100% chance of getting her back. You and your family are under constant scrutiny, as well as the authorities. Don't try to grow a brain, John. You're not the only fat cat around, so don't think that killing will be difficult. Don't underestimate us, John. Use that good southern common sense of yours. It is up to you now, John. Victorious.
Victorious?
That's how they ended it. With an exclamation point.
Oh. Well, some of that, like, half of that seems real freaking personal, like, on a very personal note, like, maybe a coworker or something, that, with them saying, we like the company, but we don't like the country it's in, or what did you say?
The country that it serves.
Yeah.
Right.
It's web design, you said?
Something like that.
Like, that's just weird. Also, was this a handwritten note?
Yes. That comes into play later.
Oh, I feel like I'm doing really good on my profile.
You are. Whoa,
okay. Okay.
Have you listened to Wife of Crime yet?
Yes.
Rest the profiler.
I love it. He's like, hashtag this, hashtag that. Hashtag Russell for president. Like,
hashtag vote for Russ.
Like, I mean, I would vote for him.
The DNA lab.
Because everything he says, I'm just like, dude. For real, though.
Cracks me up.
But he, like, today, I unfortunately am caught up on their episodes. Like, I was really enjoying it when I was not caught up because I was like, oh,
another one. That is my favorite thing. You find a new podcast and you just binge.
Yes. Yeah. So on whatever most recent episode that they had, he said, you say that you're Republican, I'm going to say I'm a Democrat. And you say you're a Democrat, I'm going to say I'm a motherfucking Republican just to stir you up. And I'm like, bitch, what are you? Like, not that I care about political standpoints of view or anything, curious. But I'm just like, I can't ever take anything you've ever said on this show serious now. Like, that really bothers me. I mean, he does tell people, don't take me serious, because I don't take myself serious.
Right.
He's my favorite. I love catchphrases.
Okay, so after authorities had already been... Oh my god, this...
Again, insert White Claw sponsorship right here.
White Claw. Surf the burp.
Love it.
Okay.
Can we patent that real fast? Is that right. How that works?
TM, 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 TM. Comment shout if out. You shout know out. Which one that is.
Yeah.
Okay. So after authorities had our... People probably think we have a problem.
I mean, with the drinking or with our podcast that we like?
Probably both.
Listen, oh you Lord. Can't be into true crime like this unless you can handle your beverages.
True. Yeah. Gotta cope some way.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so after authorities had already been called, despite the note saying that they should not be called, only one room being taped off and all the rest free to be tampered with, the body was found.
Of course.
So at 1 p.m., Detective Arden asked John Ramsey and Philip White, a family friend, to search the house to see if anything seemed amiss.
A family friend?
Family friend.
Okay, so you don't have enough detectives up in your house that they're taping off one room that you gotta ask family friend?
Right.
I mean, I would do that. Like, if some shit happened in my house and to anything or anyone or whatever, after the cops came through, I'd be like, girl, put your gloves on, put your hair up. Let's walk through this house and see what they missed. Because we know that they fucking missed something.
Right. There's something here.
But in that situation, like, they only taped off one room. Like, the fact that you're asking a family friend to go in and tamper more.
Right.
Okay. So,
they started to search the basement. John opened the latch, which earlier French had discarded as not being part of the investigation, and had overlooked and found his daughter's body in one of the rooms. Yes. So, Sean...
Dun, dun, dun!
Right? So, Sean Panis...
Sean what?
Panis? I think I wrote that wrong. Panis, P-A-N-I-S. Whatever. Sean... Oh my god. I did not say penis. That's why she's cracking up right now. I said panis. But I'm pretty sure that's still not right. She's gonna die and spit out her
mouth. I'm like, girl, you have to understand why I'm laughing. Come on. Oh, I felt those bubbles up in my nostrils. Okay, you're gonna have to repeat that, like, last few words. You said that and I forgot what you said.
Okay, so Sean found her duct taped around her wrists, and her neck and her torso were also covered. So John picked up the child's body and took it upstairs. So he had tampered with the evidence now.
So, okay, you don't just, like, scream, yo, there's a fucking body over here! Like, you grab
the... Oh my god, my daughter! Something. Something.
Especially because it was him.
Right.
Not just anybody else. Like, it was your child.
You found
child.
Your daughter.
Like, oh my
like,
god.
Like, clearly dead.
If it was, heaven forbid this ever happened to me, but if it was me, I wouldn't even be able to touch, like, especially in that, like, how you've already described it, I would just, like, drop to my knees and be, like, in hysterical
That's literally
mode.
Exactly what I just pictured in my head. Like, dropping to my knees.
Oh, yeah. How anyone, and I don't foresee either one of our husbands ever wanting to be like, let me pick this child up, like.
No.
Like, how?
My husband cannot even clean up vomit without vomiting him. So, let's be realistic. Like, no. It's not going to happen.
Ugh.
So, when Jean-Benet was moved, the crime scene had been further contaminated. Therefore, critical forensic evidence was disturbed. However, the friends, at the time, returned. So, they kept going back. So, statements that Patsy gave to the police on December 26th said that she only realized her daughter was missing after they found the 2.5-page handwritten ransom note on the kitchen staircase. In that note...
What the hell was she doing awake that early when she's a stay-at-home mom?
Who knows? So, in the note, it was demanded $118,000 for ransom. John pointed out that it was the same or almost identical amount that he had received for his Christmas bonus the prior year, which means somebody who is involved knew his money situation. They knew how much his bonus
was. Was his wife having an affair?
Not that I know of, but I wouldn't blame her.
What if the wife was having an affair with one of his coworkers and they both schemed in on it?
Mm-hmm.
And that would also be why she was so into these pageants, because she wanted more money out of them.
Oh my god, you're spiraling right now.
Yeah, I'll shut up.
So, there are several different possibilities that they are considering, including the reference to Psalm 118 about the religious relevance. So, the ransom note also shows similarities to films like Ransom,
mm-hmm.
Speed,
mm-hmm.
and Dirty Harry.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yep, yep, yep.
So, according to the FBI that told police the ransom, it was unusually long, especially for being handwritten and left at the scene.
Yes. Okay. I didn't even go to a police academy and I know this shit, but okay, it's fine. It's fine.
Psh, you listen to enough true crime podcasts and you got this shit. So the police think that it was staged because it did not have fingerprints on it except for Patsy's and those of authorities who handled it.
Of course. Of course.
So the note and practice notes were written with pen and paper found in the Ramsey's home. So their own stationery.
Practice notes?
Oh, yeah. There wasn't just one. They found practice notes.
What the fuck? That just, like, in my head, I'm instantly going to, like, when I start to write groceries, and because of my OCD, I'm like, okay, so, like, I gotta get apples, bananas, meat. Nope, that's the wrong department. So then I scribble it out, and then I get done with my list.
You
do that, too?
You put it, like, by how you go through the store?
I try my hardest until people, my daughter and my husband, start to be like, oh, we need this and this and this, and then I'm like...
Hold on, not to that department yet.
But then even then, like, after I'm already, like, 30 or 40 things into my list, I just add on to it. Like, I'm not going to waste another sticky note on it. But if I have one line or I misspell one thing and I cross it out, I'm like, all day, I'm like, I should just rewrite that. So, yeah, then I would have, like, 10, 20 sticky notes in my trash can because I just couldn't decide what order I want to put my fucking grocery list in.
Okay, when you go to the grocery store, do you have to go in a specific way, like through the aisles? Like, yeah, you have to go to this side first and go through it. Like, you don't skip. You don't go here and then go over here because you saw something. No, you have to go through and then you stop. Like, if there's a back aisle, you do the back aisle and then come back and do it. And then you do the front aisle.
When I'm by myself, absolutely. When I have my husband and both kids, it doesn't quite work out that way. But yes,
and it bothers you, yes, doesn't
the
it?
Entire time.
It bothers me,
which is probably
me too.
Why it stresses me out even more when my husband is such a social butterfly, because he will see one person and just talk forever. And then I'll see somebody else, and then they'll all of a sudden just have this, like, whole circle, and it just stresses me out.
That
on top
is my
of the
husband,
fact that...
too, and I will literally hand him the kids and be like, adios, I'm going to go get this stuff. I'll be back.
Ariana and I have started to say, okay, well, you go get this on that side of the store, and we'll get the groceries. And then Ariana and I do great. Like, I need this out of the vegetable and, like, all the fresh produce area, so you get these things and I'll get these, and then we meet up at the end by the bananas. Like, Ariana and I have a whole system down.
OCD at its finest.
Oh, yes. Definitely cheers into that. Definitely cheers. Oh, yeah.
I think that's a millennial thing, too.
Mm-hmm.
We can't control anything else going on in our lives, so.
Yeah, thanks.
Let's control the grocery
thanks,
run.
Thanks, folks. Thanks.
Okay, so. So this means whoever wrote or committed the murder took enough time to stop and write practice notes within the home. So they took time to find the stationery.
Mm-hmm.
Not write just one, but multiple.
You notes. Know, and a little bit of me is like, maybe it is somebody that knows what they're doing, so they put gloves on. But for a two and a half page fucking note. Yeah.
Ransom note, like,
that's very personal.
I don't know about you, but it takes me a while to write a ransom, like, to write a note.
To write a ransom note?
I was going to say a ransom note.
What are you trying to tell me? Listeners, you heard it here first.
It takes me a while to write a note, especially, like, if I'm trying to write it nicely.
Oh, yeah.
It takes
me, and details.
So for 2.5 pages, if you're rewriting, I don't know if they rewrote the whole thing, but they wrote at least a portion of it multiple times.
Yeah, that's kind of insane.
What? Okay, so the Ramseys provided handwriting samples as well as blood samples while the police were there. John and Patsy had a preliminary interview for more than 2 hours, and Burke was also interviewed within the first couple of weeks following JonBenet's death. It seemed as though the police had ruled them out as suspects, though. So, in the weeks following, JonBenet's body had an autopsy done, which revealed strangulation and asphyxiation being the cause of her death. But she also had a skull fracture, and the strangulation, it was, the official cause of death was asphyxiation by strangulation associated with craniocerebral trauma.
Holy shit.
Yes.
I mean, okay, so in a very... I don't want to say selfish way, but at least she wasn't, like, raped or anything like that. Oh, jeez. Okay, well, let me go back a little bit then. And as you were saying that, I wanted to question and be like, so was she, like, super naughty, like, misbehaved that somebody took it this personal with her? But you, being a pageant princess, you...
She was six.
Yeah. I mean, six-year-olds act out and they do what they do, but... At the same time, when you're, like, a pageant princess, like, you have to be able to, like, follow some type of rules. I say that, but, okay, but Honey Boo Boo Did you ever read about
oh
her?
Oh my god.
She was not well behaved. Neither was her mother. How the hell did they afford pageantry and dancing and all that?
I think they were on a bunch of scholarships, but don't quote me on that.
But Jesus, even to be on scholarships, you had to have manners and behavior, like, you know?
I feel like she got into, like, some backwoods pageants and somehow made her way up somehow, some way.
Well, there's a huge difference between Honey Boo Boo and this little girl.
Like, JonBenet.
I can't
say Honey Boo Boo and JonBenet.
Cannot say that name, but yes.
JonBenet.
Hmm?
JonBenet. JonBenet.
JonBenet?
JonBenet. Say JonBenet?
Yeah.
You're not going to attempt that.
No.
Okay, so. There was no evidence of rape, although sexual assault could not be ruled out. Although no semen was found, there was evidence that there had been a vaginal injury. The pathologist reported that it appeared her vaginal area had been wiped with a cloth, and her death was ruled a homicide.
That's fucked up.
So, around her neck was a nylon cord, and a broken handle of a paintbrush was tied around JonBenet's neck, apparently used to strangle her.
What was it?
So, a paintbrush and a nylon rope. So, like, if you put a rope around someone's neck and then put something straight, like a broom handle or paintbrush, and then twist it, you can actually get more leverage to strangle them than if you were just to strangle them. Like,
yeah, that sounds like somebody that kind of knows what they're doing.
Yeah. You mean them, right?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. I mean, you also too, but for different reasons.
So, the bristles on the end of the paintbrush were found in Patsy's art supplies.
Damn.
So the little bristles from the paintbrush
were
found in her art supplies. So that was also found from the home.
Damn.
The autopsy showed that there was a vegetable or fruit material, possibly containing pineapple, still left in her stomach. Excuse me. JonBenet had eaten pineapple a few hours before this, it seemed. And the photographs of the home that were taken on the day when JonBenet's body was found showed a bowl of pineapple on the kitchen table with a spoon still in it. Neither John or Patty said that they remembered putting the bowl on the table or feeding pineapple to JonBenet. So police reported that they found a...
So somebody went downstairs and had pineapple with her in the middle of the freaking night?
No.
Like a family friend?
No. So police reported that they found JonBenet's 9-year-old brother, Burke, his fingerprints on the bowl. However, the Ramseys have always said that Burke slept through the night. That night, particularly, until he was awoken several hours after the police had arrived. If police were in your home, you would wake up. They're not going to be quiet.
Even if something happened to my kids, I would wake my other kids up to be with me the entire time while police or whoever was investigating my house.
Right.
I feel like that's just common sense that you would want absolutely everyone that sleeps in your immediate household with you.
Yes. And in one of the articles I read, Burke was actually really jealous of JonBenet because she was getting all of the attention. And... that was supposedly, like, his pineapple. Like, the pineapple was bought for him.
Oh,
so he was really jealous and he got mad that she was eating his pineapple.
Oh, jeez. How much older than her was she?
He was 9. She was 6, so 3 years older.
Okay. So, I mean, that's pretty normal for that age.
Yeah. So, during the investigation, blood samples were taken in a mixed blood sample found on JonBenet's underwear to establish a DNA profile that... belonged to an unknown male person and excluded any DNA from the Ramseys was submitted to evidence.
Damn, okay.
Later in 2016, with better technology, they were able to detect that the genetic markers are from 2 individuals other than JonBenet.
So there's 2 people involved?
Possibly. Shit.
Okay.
Lead investigator for the DA's office, James Kohler, said that there were additional traces of male DNA found on the paintbrush that Attorney District Mary Lacey did not mention.
Well, of course. Somebody fucking left shit out. That was fucking crucial. Ugh. Excuse my F-bombs all of a sudden. I think I've been doing pretty good with not cussing as much the last few episodes, but you can only have so many white claws and hear this shit and not just want to let it all out.
Yep. So forensic pathologist Michael Baden said trace amounts of DNA can get on places and clothing from all different places non-suspicious. Which means, like, she could have brushed up against something and gotten DNA. But your underwear, I feel like that's, somebody had to be doing something.
Yeah, that's definitely sketchy. I mean, which is really fucked up to say because women shed hair like freaking crazy. Yes. So, I mean, even when I'm doing laundry, like half the time you can end up, like, Jesse has found my panties and like in his pant leg or like his sweatshirts.
Yeah.
Cause it's so freaking staticky. And then there's usually like a hair wad in there. So yeah, you can probably find some of my hair and every member of my family's chonis. Like,
but I think this was more of like a, this is going to sound gross, like a goopy matter.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
We need to do better about the trigger warning thing.
Yeah. Trigger warning.
So apologies to our listeners, but yes.
If you're listening, you should just know by now.
We'll work on it.
No promises here. You should just know. You came here.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, so there's no forensic evidence to show that this was a stranger murder. There were two different male DNAs that showed up on the underwear of JonBenet Ramsey that were not inside the Ramsey family.
Two.
So
it's even worse when it's on her underwear.
Yeah.
That's even worse.
Yeah. So there have been several different people as suspects in the case, but it's mostly been focused on John and Patsy. So by October 1997, 1,600 people were in their group of persons of interest on this case.
Damn.
Throughout the investigation, many errors were made leading to loss and contamination of evidence and lack of experience and technical staff on the investigations, which have favored the Ramseys in this case.
Okay.
Sounds like every rich white murder ever happened, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So as of right now, there has not been anyone convicted of the murder of JonBenet Ramsey. There are many conspiracy theories as to who did it, though. So Greg McCary, who was retired from the FBI, came out of retirement to help on this case. He says that statistically, it is a 12-to-1 probability that it's a family member or caregiver who is involved in the homicide of a child.
Yeah,
No evidence of a forced entry, but they did see evidence of staging at the scene, such as the ransom note.
Mm-hmm. And the pineapple. The pineapple could have been a huge thing.
So the Ramseys did not submit to questioning individually until 4 months later. And they said that the reluctancy was due to the fear that there would not be a full investigation for intruders, that they would be hastily selected as the key suspects in the case, according to the Davis camera, which is like a local reporter.
Okay.
There was no evidence in the house that they suspected that the older son had said. So no spanking, no punishment, no nothing like that. So like abusive family. So they all got along pretty well, is what he said.
Who said?
The 9-year-old. But they said that the strangulation could have been a red herring to conceal what actually happened. There are theories that JonBenet may have had a bedwetting incident and Patty had strangled her in a fit of rage, but there's no evidence to support that. The neighbor, who is also 9 years old, Bethany Burke, was interviewed by investigators at least 3 times. And he said that it was a healthy and caring family relationship. So that there weren't any issues, supposedly by the neighbor kid.
Well, I mean, that's all great and dandy, but the Turpin family lived in their house for how many years and had how many children, and none of the neighbors ever suspected anything. They just said things were a little questionable sometimes, but
right,
not to the point that they needed to call anything in, and they fucking should have. So,
true. This is true.
And the kid is 9. I'm sure that mom and dad were like, keep your mouth shut. Don't say a damn thing.
Yeah.
Like, so easily.
See something, say something.
Always. Always.
So, there are also theories that maybe Burke did it because he was jealous of all of the attention that his younger sister, JonBenet, got.
Which is unfortunate, but it happens a lot.
Yep. Her family was always putting money towards her rather than him. For all the pageants, for hair, makeup, anything that she needed in order to be successful for that. Mm-hmm. And he rarely ever got attention.
Yeah.
It seems. So, there's also an intruder theory because there were unidentified bookmarks left in the basement where JonBenet's body had been found. So there are several
bookmarks.
Like identifiers.
Oh, okay.
There are several different things that come into this theory, being that she was well known for her pictures, being everywhere, being pageants. She drew a lot of attention from people, like child pornographers and pedophiles on the dark web.
Unfortunately, that's not unexpected.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So not victim shaming, but when you get into that kind of thing and you are well known in the public eye.
There's a pedophile group for all types.
Yes. Unfortunately. So it has also been determined that there were 100 burglaries in the Ramsey's neighborhood in the several months before JonBenet's murder. There were 38 registered sex offenders living within a 2-mile radius of the Ramsey's home as well.
Yeah, that's real fucked up.
That's a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
So within the last few hours.
I would say that, but honestly, in our day and age, if you were to look up how many sexual offenders there are in your area.
I would be so scared.
Mm-hmm.
I would be so scared.
Yeah.
And that's the reason we have guns. To be honest, I would go to prison if anyone touched my children.
No, absolutely.
And I would not be anybody's bitch.
Nope.
Let's make that very clear.
Oh, yeah. The fact that some parents are understanding or forgiving for that shit.
Mm-mm.
No.
Mm-mm. There is a hole in my backyard made for your size, hun.
Mm-hmm.
And I will not, I will drink a beer.
Whether it's your child, your stepchild, your niece, your nephew, like your friend's kids, like somebody touches your child, like you have absolutely every right to.
Yes.
Stand up for your, those kids.
And if you need help digging the hole.
Give us a call.
Give us a call.
Alisa and Katie with Crime Squared Podcast.
We got the shovels in the trunk.
We help you.
This is unrelated to the White Claw.
Yep. Absolutely. 100%.
So within the last few hours, there has been a call to retest JonBenet's evidence from the blood to the DNA found in the underwear because modern day technology could do a much better job. Whereas in 1996, they were only able to say that it was not part of the Ramsey family.
Which is good to at least like take people out of their family, but still, I don't know. I mean, like, okay, so yes, brother would be questionable. Like, I understand that. Jealousy with siblings.
Right, but not
and in a family.
Murder. But,
yeah, like that's, I mean, that's fucking pineapple, bro. Like,
you might like choke him out, put him to sleep, but like.
But that takes some serious power to do.
Yeah.
Some serious strength, I should say. But, so it is nice that the family was at least cleared, especially media family. But still doesn't make it any easier. Because then that just means you have that much more people outside of your home to worry about.
Exactly. So, we may be seeing more updates on this case. If they're able to get it retested and resubmitted,
mm-hmm.
She would have been 32 today.
Damn. Happy birthday, baby girl.
Not today. Like, in today's age.
Well, I know. But still, happy birthday.
So, conspiracy theories. Who do you think did it?
I for sure think it was... I think that the wife was having an affair with her husband's coworker.
I definitely think the wife did it, and the husband might be in on it. And I think they're using the son as a scapegoat.
That's fucked up.
It is, but I think that's what's happening.
How come they didn't interview his older 2 children?
Because they didn't live anywhere near them.
But they still could have said what type of person their dad was.
Oh, like a... Well, because he hasn't been technically brought in as a person of interest.
How the fuck are the parents not persons of interest?
Especially they cleared them early on.
I know, but the mom's the one that found the fucking note, and she was the one that her fingerprints are found all over it. How the fuck is she not a person of interest?
Because they're just saying because she found it and picked it up, that's how her fingerprints got on it.
Well, I'm sure, like, times have changed, but, girl, I tell you, some shit happened in my house, and there was one ransom note, and my fingerprint was on it, I'd be in jail immediately.
Oh, for sure. Even if you didn't do it.
Yeah. But, unfortunately, I also feel like if my husband, a Caucasian male, if his fingerprint was on it, I don't think he'd be in jail.
No.
And that's super sad to say.
But it's
true. And I feel like he would agree. I feel like he would agree. And his dad, being a cop, I feel like he would also agree. So mm-hmm. It's not like I'm trying to single him out, but in a way, like, me versus him, people would definitely...
There's definitely a privilege mm-hmm. that goes along with that, unfortunately. Even yeah. though there shouldn't be.
Yep, definitely agree. Definitely agree.
So, I don't know. I don't think it was an outside job. I don't think it was a stranger.
No, definitely not a stranger.
I think somebody in those three people that were in the house did it or knows who did it.
Do you think, like, the neighbors somehow, like, were upset at all of the publicity and, like, their kids getting along or not getting along, but they got along just fine with the brother, that the brother let them in and let them out?
I don't think so.
No?
Mm-mm. Because
usually you're pretty close with your neighbors.
Yes, but I think if that had happened, I think somebody would have felt guilty by now. And they would have said something.
So, I mean, we say that, but what was this girl's name? Well, I think his name actually was Emmett Till. Have you seen that on social media?
No.
So, I haven't really followed up too much on it, but Emmett Till was an African-American, and this white girl, Carolyn Bryant Donham, said she had made accusations that she was working at like, the family store and said that he was making comments, like, sexual comments to her and, like, kind of touching her here and there, like, flirtatiously. Oh, no. She made these accusations and she told somebody that was, like, I want to say it was, like, family friends or something. I haven't followed up 100%, but she ended up saying that was not true and that they had brought this gentleman to her in the middle of the night, and since he was African-American, she couldn't point out if it was him or not. Not that the guys that brought him to her just wanted to, like, have their vengeance out on somebody.
Oh my god.
So he was lynched. Mm-hmm. And so, and I want to say that happened in Chicago. I might be wrong, but he was there visiting family.
Oh my god.
And so they were trying to try her and those two other Caucasians that brought this guy, and, like,
yeah,
like, they threw him over, like, they had beat him, like, to a pulp.
My god.
They threw him over a bridge, and, like, days later, they found him, like, weighted down in a river with, like, a super heavy metal fan on him.
Dear God.
And, I mean, he was innocent, and, like, his mom, like,
yeah,
was like, there's no way my son would have done that, like, absolutely no way. And apparently that there were...
I couldn't imagine that happening to my son.
No.
I would literally murder everyone around me.
And it sucks so much because there's, again, another racial barrier there. Because even now, especially nowadays, again, like, it feels like we're almost going back in history. Because
oh, for sure.
Now you could see an African-American male even look at a Caucasian woman and she would feel violated and cry wolf and he'd be punished instantly, whether he did it or not.
Not even, I mean... That women are losing all their rights to their bodies.
Yeah. Like,
what's next, people? What is next? Sucking. Who's moving to Europe with me?
I mean, I would move to Europe for sure.
Let's do it. Italy. They got lots of wine and lots of pasta.
Great. Can they also have lots of Tums for me? Because
Tums?
With all the wine and all the pasta. But
yeah.
Like, I really like that in this story, there wasn't like, I guess to me, it sounds like it was just a bunch of Caucasian people.
Yes. Yep.
So, like, that's nice in a really fucked up way. You know what I mean? Because it could have been like, oh, they had, like, a white Filipino mom over here, and like an Asian mom over here, and like a Mexican mom over here, and an African American over here. And I'd be like, so who are we going to point the finger at now? Like,
right.
It could have easily been that way.
In the same circumstances, if that had been another racial family, they would probably all be in jail.
Mm-hmm.
So, is it better or not? Because they're all still free, and that was 32 years ago.
Yeah, that's no, kind of terrifying.
Not 32. 20... I can't math. She was 6 when it happened. She would have been 32 today.
32, 21, 30, 26. Look, I'm not.
Don't judge us for our mathing skills.
We are really good during the day when we're sober. Okay? We both kind of have to be for our job, so yeah, it's fine. But
not right now.
I think in that situation, though, like, it's just, it really sucks because all these years later, and, like, they had, like,
they still have no resolution.
Well, they don't. And it really sucks because...
But maybe they want it that way if they did it.
It's just crazy to think that this little girl was killed in such an awful, personal way. And intimate. I mean, it was in the family home. And for this...
Being strangled.
And for this never reoccurring in their area. Like, people that do things like that usually commit, like, a few different crimes, killings like that. It's not just, like, one. It's, like, a spree.
Yes. And I didn't see if she was strangled or had the cranial, what was it? Whatever. Happened to her brain first. So, if she was, you know, say it was bludgeoning. If she got bludgeoned and then got strangled, that would be different. If she was strangled and then bludgeoned, that's way more personal. Because you have to look the person in the eyes to be able to do that.
Ugh, yeah. I don't mean ugh and like gross. I mean like, that's just so.
How can you do that?
Yeah. I mean, I guess, like, I find, I don't want to say peace at it, but I feel a little bit better knowing that somebody died before they were abused in such a horrific way. It doesn't make it any better, but at least they weren't like conscious. Yes. Whatever. While that shit was happening before they died. Like, at least. It doesn't make it any better because I know it's just as fucked up if they die and then their corpse is being handled like that.
Yeah.
But something about just being
they
kind of
with it.
They
didn't have to live through it.
Yeah.
Like, I would, if it were me / my body, I would rather be dead when that happened.
Yes,
because
absolutely.
The trauma of that for the last few minutes of your life, I couldn't imagine that would be how anyone would go out.
Wife of crime, that one... It was one of the, I want to say it was like a, maybe a middle episode. I don't remember what her name was, but she legit was like, she had nubs for arms and had like crawled herself out of a fucking hole.
Oh my God. Yes.
I don't remember what her name was or what, I don't remember what the situation was, but the fact that she legit had nubs for arms because they had chopped her arms off and she fucking survived that shit. Like, girl, that is like
the adrenaline, serious... the amount of will it takes to do that.
Ooh.
I don't remember which one it is.
Oh, man. She and, the detail that Jess provides in that. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Which, prop to you, Jess. Like, being a nurse and... I know you're not doing that anymore.
Oh, my God.
She's not anymore.
No, I know, but...
I don't know what she does now, but holy shit.
Oh, yeah. Like, that type of shit is, like... You get, like, an extra fucking, like, level of...
Respect.
Yes, for making it through that shit. And then they also covered the one where that gal had been, like, abused and tortured, and, like, they cut her stomach open looking for her baby.
Oh, my God,
and then she was, like, holding her body, like...
And she was able to somehow make it out.
And like, she survived and kept her baby and, like, went to court to see that motherfucker in her eye. Oh, my God.
Yo, like, I had a C-section, and I had to be smelling salt back to life just trying to walk to the fucking toilet. To go to the bathroom after I had a C-section. I could not imagine being cut open, literally holding my insides.
And going up flights of stairs looking for help.
Yes. I mean, I'm sure some adrenaline helped in that, but you also have to be so mentally strong and put all that shit, like, outside your brain to be like, okay, I'm literally going to die in this hellhole.
And lose my
if I do not get out of here.
Yeah, that's...
That's insane.
Kudos to those fucking survivors that have been able to make it out of shit like that.
I couldn't imagine.
I mean, I have my fair share of stories, but nothing like that. Like,
right.
Nor would I want them. Kudos to you guys. Like, holy shit. Holy shit.
So, on that note.
Hopefully they find whoever the fuck did this to this little girl. Like,
I hope they do. I really hope that they test it and are able to find out.
Maybe Ancestry will help with some of that, like, down the line. But I'm all sure. Of those,
speaking of, I don't remember if we talked about it or not, but what was that show where the guys talked about Ancestry.com and Paul Holes and Paul Jensen? Jensen and Holes.
What?
Oh, my God. What was it?
Is that the Our Father one? That
no.
It was like a gynecologist or whatever?
Oh, no. These were two retired, like, one wrote a book, and one was a retired cop.
No, I don't know.
Oh, my God. About. What was it called? The Murder Squad.
No, never done your answers.
So, okay. Well, it was really good, but... Billy Jensen basically got their show canceled because I guess he was brought up on a whole bunch of misconduct allegations. Like, yeah, right?
What the fuck?
You're in this industry and you are literally...
I feel like that happens a lot more than we really...
Even if it's just verbally, but sexually assaulting. Verbal sexual assault. It's the same. It's not, I mean, it's not, but...
Okay, yeah.
Along the same lines.
Yeah. The audacity that some people have to be like, oh, I'm absolutely against this, and then go out and do that same fucking shit. Like, there is a special place in you for fucking hell, yo. Like
below hell. Like, you...
I mean, I'm going to go back to, like, people that say, I'm going to forgive a pedophile because, like, they didn't mean to or whatever. Like, the people that say those also have a special place in hell.
Yes. There's no sympathizing for people who do shit like that.
No, and if you... condone it in any shape, way, or form.
You also a piece of shit.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Period. Point blank.
Because you don't got to deal with that shit.
I mean,
you do got to deal with it to a certain extent, but those kids got to fucking deal with that shit. So if you are okay in your head to forgive that, imagine the traumatic life and, like, triggers that those kids are going to have for the rest of their fucking life. And you want to sit there and have the audacity to say, I forgive them, like...
Especially if those people ever get out and those children have to see those people again.
Or people that never even fucking go to jail because they never get caught.
Yeah.
Because they
you
just
see them in their community.
Brainwash people to continue to do this same fucking shit. Oh my God.
And there are kids that mentally, the trauma mentally blocks it out for them.
Yeah.
The trauma blocks it.
Oh, and then they continue to block out so many more things as they're growing up because, like, they just...
Their body cannot handle it.
Yeah.
Their body is
and I don't blame them.
Against all of that.
Oh my God, I don't blame them. I wouldn't want to fucking live with that shit either.
No.
Nor would I want any other fucking child to do so.
No.
So I'm going to repeat again. If you know something, say something. Because
we got the shovels.
Ugh.
Just saying.
DM either one of us. We got you.
And also, I still believe that there should be islands built for people like this. And you survive on your own.
Yeah.
We should not be spending tax dollars for people like that.
Agreed. Absolutely agreed.
But it is what it is. Thanks for tuning in this week to episode 35.
We will see you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Hey guys, be sure to look us up on social media. On Facebook, we are Crime2Podcast. And on Instagram, Crime Squared. Also, please subscribe and review on Apple Podcasts. We appreciate all of our listeners.